2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Every time the ball lands in my hands, since I started playing football, it's just the mentality to score. Whether it's offense or defense, these days you only get defensive opportunities, and so just the same sort of situation, just needed to score, and just do what I had to do.
Third and long, let go. Intercepted, picked off, it's Tooley, Max Tooley to the end zone, BYU, touchdown.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. That's fun little music coming back there, Jerry.
Was that Max tooling his way into the end zone? You. Is that what was going on there?
You can't start out the show like
I
that.
I am. It's Friday. It's Dad Joke Friday.
Oh, my gosh. Max Tooley, yeah, threw a shoe. He did throw a shoe. He got a penalty for it. You can't throw a shoe anymore. You know, I think it was Zach Daw that did it a couple years ago at Tennessee. I was at that game in Knoxville when he did it. And when he did it, I remember we were pretty far up in the booth. And the shoe was clearly seen being thrown. I mean, it looked like it was a discus throw. And last night, Max Tooley's throw, and he didn't get called for anything then back in Tennessee. Max Tooley's throw last night, more of a flip, still kind of a – it had some what we call piss and vinegar on the whole situation. You know, that's how –
it had some intent.
That
it's
was,
called intent.
Yes. That's how these rivalry games go. I think that is a snapshot of the rivalry game last night. And I think that after, 18 hours or so of being able to kind of ruminate on that whole thing last night, the first half for BYU fans was very forgettable. It was very forgettable in this BYU-Utah State game. And I think in the end, Scott, you said it right before we went on the air, because we had somebody asking us about it. By the way, we're down here at the Juab County Fairgrounds.
Would you like me to say it now?
I want you to say it right now.
Okay. What was I saying?
No,
I'm just kidding. Everyone's all bent out of shape about the game, and it's like you don't win by enough and this and that, whatever. And a lot of these games are like they're unwinnable games, right? But here's the deal. Everyone needs to just take a chill pill, relax for 2 seconds. It's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. It's not only a rivalry game, but it's on a short week.
Yeah.
So you don't have practice. You don't have your normal routine. You have all kinds of things that get in the way. You're trying to figure stuff out. There's just all kinds of stuff that it doesn't make it like BYU's defense can't stop the run or their offense can't go against the run. I mean, there's just a ton of factors, but really the biggest factor is it's a rivalry game. And when you're in a rivalry game, anything can happen.
On a short week especially.
On a short week.
And I thought, you know what? A lot of people need to probably hear that. And I probably needed to hear it last night when people were calling in the Cougar postgame show last night, Scott. Oh, my heavens. And I said, this is a nice luxury. This is good prep for you to go into the Big 12 because you're talking like Big 12 fans. We didn't win by enough. And it was like, what are we talking about here? Now, here's the part that looked ugly, though, because I don't want to look at a game and go, yeah, but that looked like garbage, but it's a rivalry game. I'll tell you what looked terrible, because it's actually looked terrible the last three games, is that when BYU had negative 21 yards rushing in the first half, everybody up in the press box was looking at each other and going, okay, what on earth is going on with this run game? Certainly, there are questions, and you're allowed to question. You're going to question all of it. But BYU fans walking away 4-0 from a game like this, and Utah State fans who are – I mean, I forget how much Utah State hates BYU.
Sure.
I forget every year it comes around, I go, they don't hate them that
Alex,
much.
Most people hate BYU. If you're not a BYU fan, it's not no, just like, they're not another team. Okay. They're not San Diego State. They're BYU. People don't like them. Don't ask me why.
It's the old adage. If you run into 10 jerks a day, you're probably the jerk, right? Which is, and the word jerk is the nice one, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we were talking about this. Every team, when Wyoming comes into town, goes, I hate BYU. BYU goes, what? What are you talking about? This is nice. We're playing each other again.
We're neighbors.
Utah State goes,
nice place.
I freaking hate BYU. You go, what? This has got some, this isn't even that much of a rivalry game for us. You go, hey, BYU, just wanted to let you know. Everybody else says they hate you, but maybe it's because you're hateable. And I'll tell you right now, last night, for coaches to be fired, okay, people were calling for – I'm telling you, you get all sorts of things. This is why post-game is fun, because it's raw, it's immediate, and people the next day go, yeah, I probably went a little bit too far, and I want this guy fired. And that's not and that all gets – that doesn't get filtered out on the postgame show. So that's where we were there. Let's kick off the program here, though. I've got a lot to jump into here. As always, the show brought to you by G2G Bars. Let's jump into the cut right here on the program on a Friday.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut. And the show brought to you by G2G Bars, preservative-free in your refrigerated section at your local Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick, all of it. You're going to love it. Scott, we are at the I mentioned it before. We're down here at the Juab County Fairgrounds. We come here twice a year. And this is always a fun one because now it's the Extreme Bull Riding, and you can get your Extreme Bull tickets. This is the final event of the PCRA season for these guys to be able to kind of earn their way to Vegas, get some get in the money. And so that means the wildest bulls, the craziest cowboys, all of it going on tonight. UteStampedeRodeo.com is a website if you want to get some tickets. Yeah, tonight, 7 p.m., you got some time. It's exactly an hour. Actually, you, if you're Scott Mitchell, you may get 50 minutes from Draper. So Point of the Mountain to right here, 50 minutes. I mean, so people might think to themselves, oh, that's further than Tooele. And you go, no, we're right here. This is
it's close. This is a fun event. It's a great event.
You awesome.
Want to come see it.
We're going to be here all afternoon. So when you have a game like this, Scott, and people freak out about it, and they start going nuts about this thing, and I watched even some BYU coaches who chirped at some of the media who were critical last night, and I thought, that's not a good look. Fessy Satake going after a local writer down in Provo, I thought, you know what, on the one hand, I get it because, it's easy to go, hey, the media doesn't know what they're talking about, they didn't play, whatever. But Fessy Satake needs to walk away from Twitter and probably not say anything because that's a fired up situation directly after your game and say, you want to come to our offensive meetings and kind of figure this thing out? The answer is no. you don't want that guy at your offensive meeting, and you don't need to chirp at that guy either. Everyone needs to settle down and step back. You have 10 days till BYU faces Notre Dame.
But typically coaches know this. Like coaches go, it's football season, it's social media off season. We are not involved. We're not going to look at it. We're not going to react to it. It's whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. And so that's a little surprising to me that Fessy actually said something. It really is.
But that just shows you how fired up I think that these guys are when somebody goes, fire this dude, fire that guy.
Wait,
the offense is
up?
Terrible. No, I'm saying the coaches? Coaches. After the game,
you're
it was,
always going to have people criticize. You just got to turn all that stuff off. You can't. The worst thing you can do is react and respond to that situation. It's just better off just drop it, go on, move on. Because if you're responding to it, then it's validating what people are saying. One way, it doesn't matter. Either way, people are just going to go, maybe we're right, and we're getting under these coaches' skin. Why are we getting under their skin? Because they're worried. Maybe they feel like they don't have any answers. I mean, okay, I told you something, and maybe I'll share it right now. This is going to sound like oversimplistic and maybe even close to moronic, but it's actually 100% factually true. Okay? People make football out to be super hard, and it really isn't. So if you watch a game and you watch a defensive alignment where they put a lot of people, don't run the ball there. Okay? I know this sounds so dumb, but it's so simple.
Hey,
so if they're putting everybody inside, they got all these big fat bodies inside, don't go in there. Okay? Pretty simple.
Okay, Scott, why don't you show up at our offensive meeting tomorrow then, you doofus?
I would gladly show up. All right? And if they just got a couple of guys in there and everybody's out on the edges, don't run wide. Don't run lateral.
You know when it started working for BYU?
When they ran straight ahead.
When Chris Brooks started gashing him up the middle, right?
Right. It's magic. It's magic. It's magic.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know it sounds so. You can only run straight ahead.
Uh-huh.
You can run.
Hold on, let me write this down. What are they?
Straight ahead.
Okay.
Off tackle.
Got it.
Or outside. There's three places you
slow
can
down,
run.
Slow down, slow down,
okay.
I'm still trying to take notes.
Straight ahead.
Okay.
Off tackle or on the edge.
All right.
Outside. All right?
So
if they're outside, don't run out there. If they have fast players, do not run laterally. If they have undersized players, do not run laterally. Run straight ahead. It's very simple.
Hold on.
Very, very simple.
Is this just one of these?
No, let me tell you, I don't like this.
This is a quarterback going,
no, this
the
is
run
not,
game doesn't work.
Hand me the ball, let me throw it.
Look,
I thought I was wrong about this. I thought I was being too simplistic about this. But I'm just telling you, I'm so right about it. And I just remember, like many, many years ago, putting a note in my head just going, don't overcomplicate this.
If I need to talk about this on the radio in 20
years. Don't
try
to run your head against a brick wall. Don't do it. If they're all inside, don't run inside. And it's not don't run. It's just where do you run? And it's offensive linemen. They love when they're in a position where they have leverage, where they have an angle. Because guess what? Their job is about 90% done just by alignment. But when you're asking an offensive lineman to block someone who's already in the place where the play is going to happen,
right?
It's like they feel dejected. They feel like they're not doing their job. And you're asking them to do something that's impossible. These guys want to – like, there's a great clip of Joe Theismann. And the Dallas Cowboys are beating the Washington Redskins are beating the crap out of the Dallas Cowboys. And at Randy White, who is old and is tired. And they go 50 gut, right up the gut, 50 gut. The offensive linemen are, like, telling Joe Theismann in the huddle, run it again. And everybody run it again. And he ran it about 9 times in a row. You know why? Because it works. Like, it's not going to change. You know what's going to change? If they put everybody inside. And once they put everybody inside, then run outside. But until then, run 50 guys.
You're saying that those offensive linemen don't know how to reach block? How dare you?
No, I'm saying.
That they don't want to reach block? That they don't want to pull? Come on.
If someone's – no. Yeah, pull if the pulling is there. It's not. It's not that complicated.
All right.
Not that complicated.
Hey, everybody. Scott figured it out for you, BYU fans. You're going to be fine. He figured it out for you. It's you go ahead. Hold on. Gosh, I knew I was going to forget it.
Straight up the
middle.
Okay. Off tackle.
Okay.
Or outside.
Or out of the outside. All right. Lots going on, of course, because.
Do you want me to give you passing now?
I feel like we don't have enough time.
It's almost simpler than that.
You throw it over the middle?
Throw it to our guys.
Okay. Throw it to our guys.
Throw it to our guys.
Cooper Legault had a little bit of an issue with that.
Throw it to our guys.
He was putting it into a really bad position. Well, not bad.
But couldn't last night be a little bit confusing, though? I mean, because you got Navy, which it kind of looked like BYU colors at one point, and then you got this royal blue. Yeah. And
no, it's always a little bit. It throws you off. I will tell you, too, Utah State was feeding off the fact that BYU's fans, on a 3rd and 9 stretch handoff to a short side of the field, started booing when they lost a yard on a 3rd and 9 stretch handoff. And the stadium started booing. Utah State fans turned around to the crowd, and they start going, yeah, bring it. Let's go. Like, let's keep this going. And it fires people up even more. And that's the thing that people walk away from. They remember that. Because I told you this, too. When you win a game that is a rivalry game, normally – for some reason, everybody just thought, 1-3 Utah State, short week, broken foot on their quarterback. This one's an easy one. Sign this one up. This is a 24-point win because Vegas says it's a 24-point win. And what happened last night is that everybody looked at it and they go, if BYU beats Utah and you go, yeah, but that was an ugly win. There's no such thing on a rivalry game. No one goes,
but you know what they
should have beat them by so much more.
But you know what they say in that game, though? Well, they beat Utah because they had Charlie Brewer playing. They had all these young. There's always an excuse.
Sure.
Here's what happens at the end of the season, and it always happens this way. That people just look at your record. They don't go back through and they go, well, how'd they do last year? Like, they don't sit there and they don't say, well, you know, they won this game, but, you know, not by a lot. Or hey, they lost that game and they really shouldn't. Like, there's no excuses. You know, it's that whole, your record is who you are. Winning, I don't care what level, what opponent, what night, what right, it doesn't matter. Winning, you need to appreciate however you get it.
All right, so.
However you get it.
So when somebody goes, hey, it's college football, it's the Big 12. Like, they go, it's hard to win a college football game. Everybody loves saying that, right?
And that's it is.
I know, but. And it rings true even last night, except for we forget week to week. We forget week to week because you go, I know the narrative of this game. I know how this one's going to work out. I'm a fan. I've watched the whole thing. I know how this is going to work. And then when it doesn't, you go, man, I hate this team. They only won that game by 12 points. It's a double-digit win over a fired-up, pissed-off, sad team because their quarterback has not just gone for the season. It's not just a next man up situation. This kid's career's over, right? And the team gets it, and they're told earlier in the week, and then they go, fire this one up, and let's do this for Logan. Let's do this for Logan Bonner. And the kid's going to be, you know, I mean, you think about winning a Mountain West championship and then having an ACL tear and then having a broken foot on top of it, and you go, this is such a sad deal for this kid. That team came in, and they were like, no one's giving us a chance. It was the same thing you've ever seen in any movie play out, that somebody showed up with the desire to fight, and they do.
And that's a rivalry game.
And that's it.
And then we talked about that on the air the other day. You can throw out schedules, rankings, whatever. When a rivalry happens, things are different. They just are. And when you have something that kind of can rally the team, your quarterback goes down. But Cooper Legault, he's a kid that has played before, won a bowl game before. So the team has confidence in him. And he's excited. He's like, this is awesome. I get a chance to come back home and play in front of the hometown folks. You're going to get the very best game out of them. That's just the way it is. That's not going to change. Okay, I do want to say something, though, about there may be some validity to what the fans are saying.
Gosh, we just went through all this.
I know.
We just did all this groundwork to let people understand.
But here,
it's the Big 12.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing that's a little different. When you're a really, really good football team, you just take care of your business. You play to a standard. You play to a certain way. And when you're supposed to beat a team, you handle them and take care of your business, and you take care of it from the very beginning of the game. I'm not totally seeing that from BYU. If I'm being completely
and
all that. And
Kalani Sitake said it this week. He goes, we haven't put together a game yet where we felt like we know all the stuff we need to fix, and we know what we're going to do, and we're going to go out and do it. And it was the same result. Like with the with the bad penalties, with the run game getting to the slow start stuff, which you and I talked about earlier in the season. And I think I know what was the suggestion on how to not start slow.
Well, there's
it was to start fast.
Right.
Well, no. That was it.
No, but it's how do you start fast? And you change the tempo. You go no huddle. You script the first 15 plays of the game. There's a lot of ways to change the tempo of a game early on, and you get into this more attacking mode, and it gets you going in the game, but it also kind of gets your opponent back on their heels. And I mean, it's a real thing. I love it, and it does work. And it does happen. And you have to change things. But here's the thing, BYU is going to get away with this until they don't. And I'm just telling you, they're going to have a game they should win. And if they continue in their wayward ways with this, in their kind of lackadaisical focus ways, it'll jump up and bite them. And that unfortunately, just as humans, that's how we learn: is we get overconfident, we get lackadaisical. And someone beats us, and then we get all ticked off, and then we refocus, and we get back to how we are. Teams that are championship teams take care of business every single day. It doesn't matter who the opponent is.
So you know what the number one thing people were ticked about last night on the postgame show was?
No free giveaways?
Well, there's always that. Where's the freebie? Come on, man. The thing that was really irking people, and they just kept bringing this up, you'll never be able to do this in the Big 12. You're not going to get away with this in the Big 12. People kept bringing that up and be like, now, when you're in Big 12 play, you'll never get away with this. And I thought,
it's Division I football.
There it is.
It's
you know
Big
what? You know what's going to Well, here's the thing. You're going to go to the Big 12, and you're either going to grow up and put your big boy pants on, or you're going to get your butt kicked. I mean, and you're going to keep getting your butt kicked until you decide to put your big boy pants on. I mean, it's, you know, that's just kind of how it is. What does happen, though, is when you start playing that better competition, week out, That's where your program grows. That's where you get better. The tougher the competition, the higher the expectation, it raises the level of play, and that's just something that will evolve over time.
All right,
that just takes time.
I want to hear from BYU's head football coach Kalani Sitake real quick before we get out to the break here first. Kalani talking after the game about the slow starts again, which affected the team last night. Again, take a listen.
Give credit to the offenses that we're playing against, but also just find a way to make plays and don't make mistakes. I think the easiest thing would be playing assignment style football and make better decisions. As far as, you know, I think we had first drive, I think it was 15-yard penalty on Batty, and it was just not smart. I mean, I think he pushed the guy's head into the ground and stuff like that. Because come on, we're way better than that. And so just undisciplined stuff, and I just need the defensive players just to buy into what we're doing and play football in between the whistles. And I think if we do that, we'll be in better situation. So the aggression needs to be during the play of the game, not afterwards or not even before. It just has to be when the snap starts. And we're having a bad, hard time adjusting to that. So we'll be focused on making sure we start better that way.
This is going to be a gift that keeps on giving for non-BYU fans going forward. I think it was Louis Lapuaho who punched the Boise State guy right in the old he punched him.
Sure. Yeah.
So he came
in
up,
a part of his body. Boop.
Just yeah. Right. And so last night, it was Tyler Batty,
right,
who pushed one of the offensive linemen's face down into the ground after the play, and it was an obvious, like, the ref got his big flag out for it. He was like, no, that one's a bit, like, it was like one of those, like,
well, when they throw it right at you and hit you with the flag,
it's not
that's
good.
That's when it's like egregious.
So,
it's
so
like
he
it's
does
a double
it.
Penalty and well, if so, it hits you.
But it's on TV of him slamming the guy's head in the flag. Yeah. And I go, hey, BYU fans going for it. Louis Lapuaho, that was 100 years ago, it seems like already. But it doesn't matter because every year somebody tweets out 1,000 times him punching that guy right in the
in the body part.
Yeah, got it. And then now it's going to be Tyler Batty slamming the kid's head into the – and then everybody goes, yeah, but 61 was being cheap too. It doesn't matter because 61 is doing it during the play. Come on, man.
You stink, and I don't
when no
like
one's
you.
Seeing the play.
Yeah.
That's where you do it. It's like that. That's the conversation Kalani's going to have. He's going to say, don't do it out in the open. Wait till you're in a pile and then do it.
All right, here's what we're going to do.
Everything counts in the pile. You can get away with anything there.
We're going to take the break here.
It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.